Mesechtes Baba Basra, Daf Nun Hei, 8 lines from the top of Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and the Gemara in Daf Nun Dal Amud Beis, Abaye asks a question to Rabbi Yosef, Mi Amar Shmuel Achi, V'Amar Shmuel Dinu Machusa Dino, and Rashbam on Daf Nun Dal Amud Beis explained, V'Amar Shmuel Dinu Machusa Dino, Kol Masim, and all taxes, Van Nunias, and head taxes, Umin Hogesh Shal Mishpati Melochim, and any minig that is a law in the kingdom, Shal Regilu Lahanin B'Machusam, that the Ruggle to be manig in this kingdom, Dinu who is considered like a din, Kol Bnei Malchus, that all the people that live in this kingdom, Mekablon Leim Mirtzenim, Chukei HaMelech Mishpatov, they are willingly Mekablon themselves all the dinim and all the rules and the laws of this kingdom, and the Hilchot Din Gamru, and therefore it has a status of a regular din, and if anyone is machzik in mammon of their friend based on the laws of this kingdom, it does not have a din of a gazel, and they have full rights to this mammon. And Rashbam on Ardaf, on Daf Nunheim Ra'al states, then the Gemara Mesechta Baba Kama Daf Kofi Grimo and Beis, the Gemara explains, even though the government takes property from people and then they build bridges and they do other things on these property in order to benefit the public, that we still use them and we don't consider that we're being nena from Gezel, and therefore we see that Dinu Machusadino. And our Gemara begins, Amar Rabba, the Rabba states, Hani Tlas Mili Ishtoili Ukfim Bar Nechemya Reish Gluso Mishmei Deshmuel, the following 3 halachas were told to me by Ukvim Bar Nechemya, who was the Reish Galusa, and he told me these halachas in the name of Shmuel. And keep in mind that all 3 halachas are relevant to the din of Dinu Machusadino. And the first din that he told me is Dinu Machusadino, is the standard din of Dinu Machusadino. And the second din that he told me was by Risusa de Pasoi Ad Mem Shrin. And the Rashbam brings down 2 pshatim. And he first explains that although there's a din of Cheskas Shal Shanim, and when creating a Cheskas Raya, there's a requirement to bring a Raya and bring Edim that use the Sada for 3 years. However, as we know, the only way the Chazakah of Shal Shanim will work is if it's a Chazakah Shiyeshi Mataina, and the person that's using the Sada at this point claims that I bought the Sada from the previous owner, but if he just says I used it for 3 years, then it will not create a Chazakah. However, the Persian law actually extended this din, and they actually created a concept of adverse possession, and even if a non-Jew steals a Sada from a Jew, and then the non-Jew uses the Sada for 40 years, and no one is Ma'ara, then if the non-Jew now sells this land to Shimon, and Reuven comes to Shimon and says that really I own this land, and really the guy stole this land from me, and therefore you're coming with Chazak Sheini Mataina, and Shimon says that Lemaisa I bought it from a guy, and the guy used it already for 40 years, then even though he's coming without a Taina, and L'chayr, even if we know that the guy stole it from Reuven, even so the din will be that Shimon will have rights to this land, and Reuven cannot evict Shimon from this piece of land. And Rashbam continues and brings a second shot, Inami Oslashminon, the Afagav, that even though we stated that in order to create a Cheskas Raya, all you need is 3 years, however, Eretz Paris, in Persia, they made a law that a Chazakah of Raya only takes place if you use the Sada for 40 years, the Dinu Machusa Usham Kain, as that was the Dinu Machusa, and therefore we follow the laws of that kingdom and of that country. And we continue that the third din that Ukum Bar Nechemya, who was the Reish Galusa, told me the name of Shmuel was Vahani Zaruri, the Zorvin Aral Taska, Zvino Zvini, that as we have previously mentioned, if Reuven owns a Sada and he is responsible to pay property tax to the government and to the kingdom, he doesn't pay this property tax, then the law was that the government gives anyone else the right to bring the property taxes current, and then they could go and take the Sada away from Reuven. So Shmuel taught us that there were these wealthy individuals that received inheritances, and therefore they had a lot of money, and they were able to afford paying people's taxes. They would therefore go and pay people's property taxes and take away their lands, and they would then go and sell these lands to other people, and that would be a valid sale. And since there was a property tax lien, therefore they had a right to take this field, go and resell it, and if the original owner comes and wants to now pay their taxes, they would be too late, and they wouldn't have a right to redeem their land. And as Rashbam brings down, and if the original Bailim come, or they become wealthy, and they would now want to repay their money to the Zerure, and to these Yershim, and they wouldn't be able to be Ma'ara, and they would lose their Sada. And the Gemara continues, that the only time that we said that this would be valid is only if he owed property taxes, and therefore there was a lien on this property based on the fact that he didn't pay property taxes to the kingdom. But if Reuven actually owned a Sada, and he owed the king money because he didn't pay an income tax, or he didn't pay his head tax, then generally the government would only go after him personally, and for example, they will put him into jail until he's able to pay his head tax. However, they would not go and confiscate his property. Therefore, even if the government came and confiscated Reuven's property, and now Shimon went and paid Reuven's head tax, and the government gave Shimon Reuven's property, then that would not be considered dinu machusa dino, and therefore Shimon would not really have a right to his property. Certainly, if Reuven would pay Shimon back for this tax, certainly Reuven would be able to get the property back from Shimon. The Gemara explains, my time and what is the reason, as karga kaka if the gavri monach, as this head tax is placed on a new person's head and is not put on a person's property, and therefore even based on dinu machusa dino, there is really no lien on Reuven's property. And as Rashbam states, that the only way the government could collect the head tax is oyit fusu, either they have to put him in jail achiyita me'ilav until he pays them, or yivrach ben ear, or Reuven would have to run away from the city. Rashbam points out the hachmilsa gemara kamalei, and this din that we just mentioned, the chil between taska and karga, is based on the gemara. However, the gemara continues, Rav Huna b'Yeshua argues and says, afilu sari dekado mishtabdi lekarga, that even though Reuven owns a head tax, everything that he owes is actually meshubit to the government. Even if Reuven already harvested barley from his field, it's meshubit for the karga. And as Rashbam states, v'kolshkin karka atzmo, and certainly the land itself is meshubit and is a lien to the government. And therefore, Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua actually argues on the previous din, and he holds leishna zoven ar letaska oy lekarga zvinaru zvini dehochi havedin lemachusa, as the din lemachusa was that there is a full fledged lien against all of Reuven's property, not only for property taxes but also for a head tax. Therefore, as long as the government confiscates this property and goes and sells it, and the next person pays the head tax or pays the property tax, then that person would have the rights to the sada. Before we continue, let's point out that we noted the Torah states that a bechor gets pishnayim, and as the pasuk states in Pashki Seitze, ki es a bechor yakir losis loy pishnayim bechor shiyumatzei loy, we know that the only time that a bechor gets a double portion from the estate of his father is only on those assets that the father has in his possession at the time that he dies. But the halacha is that a bechor does not receive a double portion on any of the assets of his father that the father does not have in his shus at the time that he dies. And for example, the father is owed a loan from a third party, and then the third party pays back that money, then the bechor would not receive pishnayim. Based on this point, the Gemara continues that Amr Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi states, Amali Hunan bar Nosan Koshi bar Amema, that Hunan bar Nosan stated that Amema had the following question on Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua, that since Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua stated that when a person owes taxes to the government, and it doesn't make a difference if he owns property taxes or if he owes a head tax, that the government always has a lien against his properties, and it doesn't make a difference if it's his real property or if it's his personality, the government has a lien against all of his properties. Therefore, when Yaakov dies, all of his property is really meshubed to the government, and really Yaakov doesn't own any property, and it's really owned by the government, and it's only once the family pays the taxes, then the family has a right to the property, and therefore every single piece of property should be considered beroi, and therefore Bechor should never get pishnayim. And as the Gemara states, in came betalti yerushas b'nai Bechor to have a lay roi, v'ina Bechor neitul beroi ke b'muchzik. As Rashbam explains, harei ba'isa machos betalti yerushas b'nai Bechor, the chol mamon ha'av mes v'loi paradai in karga d'shan zu, have a lay meinu roi, d'ina muchzik b'klal, ki im ha'melech, the shibud ha'melech, odem isha shibudim, that the shibud of the king is a superlin, u'chogavoy domi, and it's considered as if the king already collected his property for his taxes, and therefore by paying off the taxes at this point it gets into their rishus, and l'chur it's considered b'royi, and therefore the b'chor should not be able to collect pishayim. And the Rashbam explains, umi olav avkatur malisi, that really this question is not a valid question, that inachinami in this city and this kingdom, then there will be a bittul of the din of pishayim, but in other places where that's not the rule, then it would be actually mekuyim, and therefore it's not a major problem, the shafke l'kro, the iu dochek u'mukuyen afshei. However, the Gemara continued that on Malay, the Rav Ashi responded to Huna bar Nosan that this question that Meme asked, which he was asking Dafkan of Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua, is l'chur not only a problem according to Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua, as he hocha filu taskanami, that even according to our first shita that we stated, that the only time that this is considered a valid lien is only in regard to taska and in regard to property tax, but b'negei a head tax, there is no lien, but it would still be a question, as we should still ask, in came betalta b'kakoris Yerushas b'nai Bechor, that the din of pishnayim is batal regarding all real property, as every time that Yaakov dies and leaves over a piece of karka and he did not yet pay his property tax, then lemaisa that belongs to the government, and therefore it's considered b'roi, and the Bechor should not receive pishnayim from that karka. Rav Ashi continues that by the fact that Amema only asked this question on Rav Huna Rabbeinu Bir Rabbi Shua, then it must be he understood El Ma'as L'Chomema Duyav Tasko Mis, that certainly there's a potential for a case of Pishnayim, even in a case of property taxes, in a case where his father already paid his property taxes right before he died, and therefore he already owns his property, and the government doesn't have a lien on his property for this year, as he already paid his annual taxes, and therefore certainly in that case, the Bechor would get Pishnayim, and Hachanami, and therefore even according to Rav Huna Bir Rabbi Shua, and even though there's even a lien against Sari Dekada and against all his metaflin, and even so, the din of Pishnayim will not be bottled, as certainly Bechor will receive Pishnayim in all of the father's property if prior to Yaakov dying, he already paid up all of his taxes, and he paid his property taxes as well as all his head taxes, and certainly in that case, the Bechor will take Pishnayim kibemuchzik, as is not considered Roy, as certainly the properties belong to the father, and the kingdom had no further lien on these properties. Gemara continues, Rav Ashi said another statement, Amali Huna Banasin, and once again he said it over the name of Huna Banasin, Sheltinu L'Safri D'Rava, that we asked the Seifrim and we asked the scribes of Rava, V'Amru Li, and they told us, Hilchas Rav Huna B'Rabbi Yavishua, that Allah follows Rav Huna B'Rabbi Yavishua, that not only does the government have a super lien against a person's property in regard to property tax, but they also have a super lien against a person's property for the Geir head tax, and therefore the government would actually be able to confiscate people's properties, and if the government confiscated the properties and then they sold it to a third party, then the third party would have a right to that sada. However, Rav Ashi continues, Velohi, that it is actually not true and this is not the right psak, as Hassan Lord Kumi Milsi Hudama, as the only reason why the Seferim actually said that Allah follows Rav Huna B'Rabbi Yehoshua is because they wrote so many documents in such situations, and if they would actually pass it against Rav Huna B'Rabbi Yehoshua, it would actually come out that many of the documents that they wrote would actually be null and void, as they really didn't have a right to these properties, and therefore they wanted to pass in this way in order to make sure that all previous transactions would not be null and void. However, ultimately, we really don't pass like Rav Huna B'Rabbi Yehoshua, and the only time that the government has a lien against property is only when a person did not pay property tax. But if the person only didn't pay a head tax, then the government really doesn't have a right to confiscate a person's properties, and if they do so and then they resell it, then that sale would not be valid, and really Reuven could go and evict Shimon from this property. And it's important to note that although the Gemara stated that if the king would have a lien against a property, then a Bechor would not have a right to Pishnayim, as this property would be considered Roy, and therefore a Bechor would not be known to Pishnayim, but Roy could be Mechzik. However, as Taisa points out, that this would not be the same din when a person has a lien against his property, either because he owes his wife money for a ksuba, or because he lent money to someone and he gave the person a mortgage. And as Taisa points out, the Bishleimim Mikol Odom Sheish Lo Ksubas Isha Ubachoyib Afal Pish and Chasim Meshubadlan, that even though there was a lien against his property, Mikol Mokam Ein Yerushas Benoya Bechor Betela Meshum De Milva Veisha Mechasri Gavainai Betzricha Drachta Vechrasta Veshuma, that although there is a lien against his property, but the Bechor would still take Pishnayim, as even though if they would not make these payments for the Ksubas Isha or for the loans of their father, then their father's wife and their father's lender could come and take this property. However, certainly it still has to go through the court system, and there's a process in order for them to go and collect, and therefore it's not considered like they have these properties, and it's considered like the Yoshim already received these properties, and therefore the Bechor receives Pishnayim. However, Taisa explains, Aval Masa Melech Afilu Kaka Shav Elv Zuz Meshubedes L'Dover Mu'ed that Kakoyis Iker Hein Shel Melech, and therefore the Kaka is considered like it belongs to the king, the Kvahu Muxik V'Loy Mechasri Gavayna, and it's as if the king actually has this property, and therefore when you pay the taxes, it's as if you were actually cleaning the field back from the king, and therefore it's considered Broi. That's why specifically when there's a super lien from the kingdom or from the government, then we say that a Bechor would not receive Pishnayim. And the Gemara continues, V'Amar Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi tells us another memra, Padachas, as Rashbam explains, Odu Botul Melacha Umilimud Umiderech Eretz, that this person doesn't have any job and he's not involved in the world at all, and it's brought down that the word Padachas is a contraction from the word Pur Yoduchte, that his bed is his place, that his bed is his business, and his business is to sleep in bed all day. And certainly this person who we will call Reuven is not a wealthy person. And Rav Ashi teaches us Padachas Meseyeh Masa, the Hanimila that Silte Masa, Avon in this case, Siyat Deshmahi. As we know, in those times, the government would assess a specific amount of money that would have to be paid as a head tax from all the people of the city. And for example, they would say that this city has to pay $100,000 towards the taxes. Rav Ashi teaches us that if the government assessors come to this town and they say that the total amount that we have to collect from this town is $100,000, although Reuven really doesn't have money, they assess that Reuven really has money, and therefore they say that Reuven should pay $10,000 towards this $100,000 assessment, and the people of the city go over to the government representatives, and they tell them that you should know you're making a mistake, and Reuven really doesn't have money, and therefore you shouldn't be charging him anything, and they actually let him go, and they don't charge him at all. And meanwhile, instead of the city having paid $90,000, now the city has to pay $100,000. Therefore, everyone's taxes go up, and they have to pay more than they would have paid if Reuven would have paid $10,000. And therefore, Rav Ashi teaches us that even though Reuven certainly doesn't have to pay $10,000, but now he will be included in the taxes of the rest of the town. For example, if there are 100 people in the city, then Reuven would have to pay $1,000, which is his ratio and his proportion of what the town taxes are. However, Rav Ashi also teaches us that it is only if the town people actually help Reuven, they help him avoid these taxes that the government wanted to really assess against Reuven. However, if the government representative actually either realized that Reuven is very poor and therefore they didn't assess any amount against Reuven, or they forgot to assess Reuven and now the town people get an assessment of $100,000 and they want Reuven to contribute, then Reuven could say to them, "Lemaisa, I didn't get any tax notice and I didn't get any tax bill and therefore I shouldn't have to pay anything." And in this case, Rav Ashi teaches us that in a chenami, this would be a valid taina as the mazel of Reuven that he didn't get assessed. Reuven had a special siyata d'shmaya that he didn't get assessed, and as Rashbam states, the siyata d'shmaya who shemachuloi, Shita Mekubetzes brings down that even in the case where the B'nai Masa actually help him and he was not assessed, even so, mistavrili shem noydelonu shemasha patra melech lohitel al shar, that if we actually find out that any amount that was supposed to be paid by Reuven, they did not actually reassess and did not put on the rest of the tzibo, afilo etzilu B'nai Masa in a chayiv lefreilem klum, that Reuven would not be chayiv to pay his portion and would not pay any part of the taxes of the city. He also continues and he explains that the opposite is also true, that the only time that we would say that Reuven is pata is only in the scenario where the government representative forgot about Reuven or decided that Reuven's too poor and therefore Reuven doesn't have to pay any taxes. However, if it's a scenario where Reuven actually went over to the government official and he pled his case and therefore they allowed him not to pay the tax, and certainly the reason why the rest of the town has to pay a higher tax is because Reuven went and appealed this decision and he went and he fought that he shouldn't have to pay the tax, and since he caused this to occur, therefore Reuven will be chayav to pay his portion of the city tax. As the Shita brings down, avon hu atzmo hischanin lehem at shepetru chayav, then he would be chayav ki b'shepetru v'hitl al shar matzal atzmo b'mam chaveru, and therefore he's chayav. Before we continue, let's remember that at the bottom of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara taught us that if someone's trying to be koina nichse agar or trying to be koina matana where there was no transfer of funds, Amrav Asi and Rav Yechon, Rav Asi said in Rav Yechon, shtei sodes u'mitzah echa b'nein, that if there are two separate fields and there was a boundary between them, even though they both belong to the same ger, and now that this ger died, Reuven wants to be coined to these fields. So Reuven actually made a kinyan in one of the fields, and for example, he was rafik b'porto, then he'd be coined to that field, and since he didn't have kavana to be coined to the second field, certainly he would not be coined to the second field. And even in a case, that even if he had kavana to actually be coined to both of these fields, so Reuven can only be coined to this field, but he would not be coined to the second field, as ultimately he only made a kinyan chazaka in field A and not in field B, and there was a boundary marker between both of these fields. Therefore, we consider them as two separate fields, even though they only had one owner. As Rashbam pointed out on Daf Nun Gimel Beis, this din that was mentioned from Rav Asi and Nimr Bechron is based on our Gemara. As our Gemara continues, Amr Rav Asi and Rav Bechron, as Rav Asi said, Nimr Bechron, Hametzav Achatzav Mafsikim Nichse Ager, if a ger owns a very large parcel of land, and there's a boundary marker that creates a boundary between this land, and therefore it splits it into two separate parcels, or the chatzav, which was a type of a plant, which was used as a boundary marker. The reason this plant was used as a boundary marker, because its roots would always grow directly below it, and would not go to its sides, and therefore it would create a clear distinction, and a clear demarcation between different properties, and therefore it was used as a boundary marker. Rav Asi teaches us in Nimra Bichron that this parcel is now considered two separate parcels, and the nafkamina would be a very simple nafkamina, that if this ger dies and now Reuven tries to be koiner the entire parcel, and he's only rough b'porto in one of the parcels, then he would not be koiner the second parcel. For example, if Shimon would now come and be rough b'porto in parcel B, and even though Reuven originally intended that he wanted to be koiner parcel A as well as parcel B, but the mice of Reuven didn't make a kinyan in parcel B, and therefore Reuven would only own parcel A and Shimon would own parcel B. Let's recall that Rashbam and Daf Nun Gimel Beis pointed out that certainly Rabbi Shneichem would agree that this is only the din b'digei and nichsei hager, or in the case of matana where there was no actual money that transferred hands. However, if there would be a case of mecha, then we know that din of Shmuel is machla yutzadis ba'asim medinais hichsev ba'achzem and kanakulan. Even though he only created a kinyan chazaka in one of the sadais in a specific city, then you could still be kinyan the other nine parcels that are in a completely different city. And even though certainly they're considered different parcels, as lemaisa, since you paid money for them, therefore it's easier to be kinyan through a kinyan chazaka. Gemara continues that although Rabbi Asi said in Rabbi Echon that mitzvah achatzav mafsik minichse agar, aval in peyah v'tumaloi, but v'negei adinim apeyah and v'negei adinim atumah, then these parcels would not be considered separate parcels. And the Gemara will explain exactly what halacha peyah and exactly what halacha of tumah we're referring to. However, ki asu Ravin or Rabbi Echon, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the name of Rabbi Echon, afilu lepeyah v'tumah, that this did apply even to peyah and tumah, and therefore there's a machlokes as to what Rabbi Echon's shita was. Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yechon held that it's not negate to pay in Tumah, and Rabban said in the name of Rabbi Yechon that these halachas would be negate to pay in Tumah. The Gemara will now continue and explain the dinim that it's relevant to b'negei peyah and b'negei Tumah. As peyah ma'i, what halacha are we referring to b'negei peyah? The Tan, as we learned in Mishnah Maseches Peyah, ve'ilu mafsikel peyah, that these are the things that would be master b'negei peyah. And as we know, if someone has a field of produce, then they have to leave the edge of the field, and they can't cut and they can't harvest the edge of the field, and they have to leave it for aniyim. And if they have one sada, then they have to leave one part of that field. But if they have two separate sadais, then they would have a chiyuv to leave peyah in each of these sadais. The Mishnah teaches us that the following things can separate field b'negei l'din peyah. Hanachal, if you have a stream that's flowing between two separate fields, that creates a natural border, and therefore it would be considered two different parcels. And although both parcels are owned by the same person, but the owner would have to leave separate peyah on each of these fields. We explain nachal as a stream. However, Ayin Rashbam, two lines in the bottom of the Amid, he explains that the word Nachal refers to a place like Nachal Esan, which really refers to a valley that can't be planted. And as Rashbam says, Kaka Kasha Molit Zroyus Favonim She'ein Royal Israel. And Rashbam explains that Shleilis Kfutzis Megishamim is a gathering of rainwater. However, Ayin Yad Ramah, who explains the word Nachal as a stream, and therefore he's bothered what's the difference between a Nachal and a Shleilis, and he says, Ezu Nachal v'Ezu Shleilis Kol She'ein Yochal Avar Beregel Zeu Nachal Kedusiv Nachal Shalom, which is a pasuk in Yecheskel, v'chol shu yochol avod beregel zel shleilis ayin sham. We continue with the Mishnah Maseches Peah and Daf Nun Hei Beis, v'derech harabim v'derech hayochid. As Rashbam explained, derech harabim is 16 amos wide, and derech hayochid is 4 amos wide, and loizu afsu ktani. Once again, if you have a derech harabim or derech hayochid between a sada, then that would create a separation in the sadais, and the owner would be required to leave two separate pieces for peah. And the Mishnah continues with the method of Leizu Afsu, Vishvila Rabim, Vishvila Yachid, and similarly, when you have a walking path that's wider and used by Rabim, or a walking path that's narrower that's used by Yachid, Hakavua, Bainbi, Mesacham, or Bainbi, Mesac Shamim, the only way that these paths create a separation between these two Sadais is if these paths are not only used during the summer months when nothing is growing in the field, but even used during the rainy months when things are growing in the field. Therefore, these paths are not used for planting, and therefore it creates a separation between these two Sadais, and you have to leave separate payer for each of these fields. And as Rashbam states, Hakavua bein bi meisek chamo bein bi meisek shamim vafilu bi meisek shamim she'in regilin lahalch bebikom halchin sham she'in charisha v'zriel sham. And Rashbam explains what's the difference between a derech and a shvil, as a derech is used by agolis and susim, and it's used by wagons and horses, while a shvil is specifically used for foot traffic and not by horses and not by wagons. L'maisa, now that we saw the Mishnah Masechtas Peah, so we can understand the machlekes between Rab Asi and Ravin, as Rab Asi hold that a meitz and chatzav, even though it's mafsik b'nichsei agar, but b'negei peyah it's not mafsik. Therefore, in order to be mekayim your mitzvah and your chiyuv of peyah, all you have to leave over is one piece of land in one of these sadais, and you don't have to leave over two separate pieces for peyah. However, Ravin holds that afilu peyah, that even regarding peyah, it's considered hafsik, and therefore we consider this area as two separate parcels. And therefore, in order to be mekayim your chiyuv for peyah, you have to leave over a separate piece in each of these fields in order to be mekayim. And the Gemara continues that Rabbi Asi and Ravin were also chaylik as to what Rabbi Yechon Shita was b'negei tuma. And the Gemara asks tuma ma'i in regard to what din would have been chaylik b'negei tuma. And as we know, there's a din that safik tuma b'shus yachid sveikoi tamei, and this is exeris hakasav, as we learn it from the din of safik saita, as every saita is a safik if she's tamei, and it's a safik that occurs in her shus yachid, and we say that mi safik she's also to her husband. And therefore, we have a cloud that safik tuma b'shus yachid. Svekoy Tomei, And the Gemara now continues the Tzan, and we have a Mishnah Maseches Tiras that states Hanichzal Bika B'Yemaisek Shomim, that if Reuven goes into a valley where there's a bunch of different fields, and he goes into this valley during the winter months, and we know that during the winter months people will makbid that people shouldn't walk into the fields, and that plants were growing during that period of time, and therefore a field is considered a Shus Yachid the Tumah B'Sada Plainis. And we know for certain that there's Tumah in Parcel A. The Amman Reuven states Halachti L'Makam Alaz, that I walked into this valley where there's many parcels of land, and I'm not certain if I walked into Parcel A or not. And the Mishnah teaches us, Rabbi Elazar Matar, Rabbi Elazar says he's tar, the Chum Metamin, and Chum says he's tummy. And Lemaisa, what is the reason that Rabbi Elazar says that Reuven is tar? Because Rabbi Elazar Imes, Suffolk be a tar, Suffolk maga tumma tummy. Rabbi Elazar holds that in a case where there's a Suffolk of Reuven actually went into a parcel of land, so we see that Reuven is tar, and even though Suffolk tumma b'shus yachid is generally tummy, however, over here we have a Svek Sveka, as number one, there's a Suffolk as to which field Reuven walked into, and there's a possibility that Reuven did not walk into parcel A, and therefore he's tar. And even if Reuven walked into parcel A, there's also a suffix if Reuven actually touched the kever and came into contact with his tumor, and therefore there's a second suffix. We know that when there's a svek sveka, then it's tar, and the only time Rabbi Elazar says that Reuven will be tummy is if Reuven knows that he went into an area where there was a kever, and he's just not sure if he actually came into contact with that kever, and therefore we say that suffix tumor b'shus yachid sveka tummy, as the Gemara stated, suffix maga tumor tummy, that if there's a suffix, if Reuven came into contact with tumor, and that's the only suffix, then certainly Reuven will be tummy. And in regard to this din of Rabbi Elazar that we find in the Mishnah Maseches Tiras, that we could apply the machlekes between Rabbi Asi and Rabin as to what Rabbi Yechonon held. For example, if there's a very large parcel of land, and the only thing that's separating between this parcel of land is a border or this plant called the chatzav, then according to Rabbi Asi, the din is litin in pay of a tumaloi, that is not considered a hefsik, and it's not considered a separate parcel, but negated din of tumah. Therefore, if Reuven would actually walk into this area, then Reuven would actually only have one suffix, as certainly he was in the field where there was tumah, and it was only a question if he came into contact with that tumah, and therefore suffix tumah shes yachid sveikei tumah, and Reuven would be tumah. However, according to Rabin, Rabin holds that even in the case of tumah, that it is considered a separation and it does segregate between these two sades, and therefore even if Reuven walked into this general area, but he's not sure if he walked into parcel A or into parcel B, and since Rabin holds that Rabbi Yechonon holds that we look at this parcel of land as two separate parcels because there's a border that's separating between these two areas, therefore Lefi Ravin, Reuven would actually be tar, as we would now have a Svek Sveka, as Reuven is Mesupik if he walked into parcel A or into parcel B, and even if he walked into parcel B, he is still Mesupik if he actually came into contact with Tumah or not, and since it's a Svek Sveka, therefore Reuven would be tar, and we would not consider Reuven Tameh Mase. Keep in mind that the only Machlekes that Rabbi Asi and Rabin have are only regarding the Shita Rabbi Elazar. However, the Chum said that Reuven is tummy no matter what, and as Rashbam explained, the safe mali sada achas mali be sadais, as Rabbanon hold that it doesn't make a difference if Reuven walked into the area where there was one sada or there were two sadais, chadas sveiki, there's really only one suffix, shema holach ala keva v'hel, shema loy holach, as maybe he went near the keva and he was actually mal in that area and therefore he became tummy mace, and there's a potentially didn't do so, the sveiki tummy, and since there's only one suffix, therefore the standard klal of suffix to b'shus yachid tummy applies, and therefore Reuven will be considered Tameh Mase. And the Gemara now continues that even though we just mentioned there's a machlekes between Rabbi Asi and Nim Rabbi Yechonon and Ravin and Nim Rabbi Yechonon as to a Meitzer Chatzav b'negeida din pei and tumah, however certainly even Ravin who states that filu pei ol tumah, that even regarding pei and tumah we consider the Meitzer and the Chatzav to be a separation and we consider that there's two parcels, however avol Shabbos loy, even Ravin agrees that b'negeida Shabbos we do not consider a Meitzer Chatzav to be a separation and doesn't create two separate parcels, and the Gemara will explain what the nafkamina is b'negeya Shabbos in a moment. However, let's first see the Rashbam 8 lines from the bottom of the Amid, and the Rashbam states for Kedai Gemara that the Gemara explains the Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechonon dafka peyo v'tumah, that the only time that we consider it a separation is dafka b'negeya the din of nichsei ager as well as b'negeya the din of peyo v'tumah. However, avol Shabbos layav hefsek, even Ravin agrees to Rabbi Asi that a boundary marker or these plants called the chatzav would not separate b'negeya the din of Shabbos, and as he explains, imafsik mitzvah v'chatzav b'shtei rishus rabim, if there's a very large rishus rabim and in between the rishus rabim there's a boundary marker or a chatzav, and as we know, in order to be chayiv for a tzar on Shabbos when taking a food product from rishus yochid to rishus rabim, there has to be a shir chashuv, and that shir is brought down in Masechta Shabbos that the shear of a dried fig. Therefore, if Reuven took a half of a dried fig into one part of Rishus Rabbim, and then he took another half a dried fig into the other part of Rishus Rabbim, then even though it seems to be two separate parcels, but the Maisa is considered one parcel, and therefore Reuven would be chayiv a korban chatos if he did so b'shoigig, and if he did so b'mezid, he'd be chayiv misa. That filu Rabbi Yosi, the potter b'shnei rishuyas, even according to the shita Rabbi Yosi that we will see on daf involving with Alf, that holds if Reuven takes a half a gregorius into two separate Rishus Rabbim, although he carried a full dried fig from Rishus Yerachid into Rishus Rabbim, however, since he only took a half a gregorius into each Rishus Rabbim, so he's considered potter. However, hachachayiv de'in hametzim afsikel l'shnei rishuyas, as certainly over here we don't consider it as two separate boundaries, and therefore certainly Reuven would be chayiv, as it's considered he took a full dried fig into one Rishus Rabbim, and even according to Rabbi Yosi, he'd be chayiv misa if he did so b'mezin, and if he did so b'shoigig, he'd be chayiv b'chatos. However, the Gemara tells us, Rava Amar, Rava argues on this, and he holds, afilin in Shabbos, that even regarding Shabbos, we would consider this as a separation, and therefore if Reuven actually would carry chetzi gregorius into one section of the Rishus Rabbim, and then he would take another half of gregorius into the other section of Rishus Rabbim, then Reuven would be potter, as the mice he didn't take a full gregorius into one Rishus Rabbim, and at least according to Rabbi Yosi, he would be potter. And the Gemara now brings this braisa that brings the sheet of Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya is willing to the braisa that if Reuven actually does a malach on Shabbos and he doesn't realize that it's Shabbos, therefore he had a lama legabe Shabbos and hoitzi chetzi gregorius Rishus Rabbim venicha, and at that point Reuven took a half of a dried fig into Rishus Rabbim and he left it in Rishus Rabbim, and then Reuven took another half of a dried fig into the same Rishus Rabbim, and it was within the same halama, as he still did not know it's Shabbos. So chayiv, so lemaisa he did a full malach on Shabbos, as he was moitzi a full gregorius into Rishus Rabbim on Shabbos, and he did so b'shoigig, and therefore be chayiv a korban chatos. However, b'shnei halama is potter if in between bringing the first half of the gregorius into Rishus Rabbim, he realized that was Shabbos, and then once again he forgot afterwards, and then he brought the second half of the gregorius into Rishus Rabbim, then he'd be potter, because the only way to be chayiv on Shabbos is if you do a malachas machsheves and you do it within the same halama. And as Rashbam states on the bottom of Amid, the idea mechalekes. However, Rabbi Yosi says not only is idea mechalekes, but Rishuyas are also mechalekes, and therefore Rabbi Yosi states behelam echad b'rishus achas chayiv. Only way that Reuven would be chayiv to bring a korban chatos is not only if he did so behelam echad, but he also had to bring both of these half of dried figs into the same Rishus Rabbim. However, b'shtei Rishuyas potah, if Reuven actually brought a half of gregorius into one Rishus Rabbim, and then within the same halama he brought the second half of this gregorius into a separate Rishus Rabbim, then Reuven would be potah as Rishuyas mischalekes, and therefore it's not considered that Reuven did a full maisa of haitzah on Shabbos. The Gemara continues and brings machlekes amroyim as to explaining what Rabbi Yosi means when he spoke about two separate Rishuyas b'negei Shabbos. But Rabbi explained v'hu sheish chiyuv chatos b'neim, the only time that we consider that these two Rishus Rabbim are considered two separate Rishus Rabbim are only if you have Rishus Yachid between these two areas. Since in order to walk from Rishus Rabbim A to Rishus Rabbim B, you have to walk into an area where if you walk from that area directly into Rishus Rabbim, you'd be chayiv for Maisa of Shabbos. Therefore, we look at both of these Rishus Rabbim as separate Rishus Rabbim, and if Reuven took a half of gregorius from this Rishus Yachid that's between the Rishus Rabbims into Rishus Rabbim A, and then he took another chetzi gregorius from the Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabbim B, then Reuven would be potter according to Rabbi Yosi. Certainly, these are considered two separate Rishus Rabbims, and therefore, certainly, with Rabbi Yosi, this would be a scenario where we would say Rishuyas Menchalkos. However, Rabbi continues, Abba Kamalis Loi, if instead of the two sides of this Rishus Rabbim being split up by Rishus Yachid, it's actually split up by a Kamalis, which is not a Rishus Yachid and not a Rishus Rabbim. Midraisa, if someone carries from a Kamalis into Rishus Rabbim, or from Rishus Rabbim into a Kamalis, or from a Kamalis into Rishus Yachid, or from Rishus Yachid into a Kamalis, it would not be Ivan the Issa Vaitzah, and the Rashbam points out, Kagoyim Bikkel Shabin Tayim Loi Mechalklu, the Batal Menateri Lahacha Lahacha, and Midraisa, this Kamalis is Batal to both of these Rishus Rabbims, and therefore we don't look at it as two separate Rishus Rabbims, and if Reuven would actually carry one Chetzi Gregorius from the Bikkel and from the Kamalis into Rishus Rabbim A, and he would then carry another Chetzi Gregorius from the Bikkel and the Kamalis into Rishus Rabbim B, then Reuven would be Chayiv Echatos, as Lemaisa is not considered separate areas, and it's considered one large Rishus Rabbim. The Gemara continues with the second shita, Abaye Oma Afilu Kamalis, that even if there would be a Kamalis between these two Rishus Rabbims, Rabbi Yosi would still say that's considered like two separate Rishuyas, and therefore if Reuven carries a half of gregorius from this area into Rishus Rabbim A, and then he would carry from this area into Rishus Rabban B, then he would be Pata, because Lamaisa, he didn't carry one full Gregres into one Rishus Rabbim. And even though you're not Chayiv Midraisa for carrying from a Kamel to Rishus Rabbim, if so, how could it be that this creates a separation between this area that's a Rishus Rabbim? However, Lamaisa, since we see that Rabbanan stated they now carry from a Kamel to Rishus Rabbim, therefore we see that it's Lamaisa, a separate area, and therefore we look at each Rishus Rabbim as its own parcel and its own Rishus Rabbim, and therefore if you carry only a Chetzi Shir into each one of these areas of the Rishus Rabbim, then a Lefi Rabbeisi you would be Patur. However, by estates, I will piss a loy. If there's an object in the middle of the Rishus Rabbim which is categorized as a Makom Torah, as we know that if there's a block of wood or some sort of a post that's a middle of the Rishus Rabbim which is lower than 10 Tvachim high and is smaller than the area of 4 by 4 Tvachim, then it's considered a Makom Torah, and therefore even with Rabbanon, you'll let it carry from that Pisla into Rishus Rabbim and vice versa. Therefore, by hold that even Rabbeisi would agree that if Reuven takes a Chetzi Gregres from a Makom Torah and he brings it into a Rishus Rabbim, and then he takes another Chetzi Gregres and he brings it into the other side of Rishus Rabbim, then in that case, certainly Reuven would be chayiv to bring a Korban Chatos, as Lemaisa you can't say that there's a Hefsik in the Rishus Rabbim, and we look at the Rishus Rabbim as one area, and therefore Reuven Lemaisa took a full Gregres into the same Rishus Rabbim, and certainly we wouldn't say that it's Rishus Mechakos. However, the Gemara continues, Rav Amma Afilu Pisla, and Rav Lishitasa holds that even if there would be a block of wood that's a Makom Torah, and you would take a Chetzi Gregres from it into Rishus Rabbim, and then another Chetzi Gregres from it into the other side of Rishus Rabbim, then in that case, you would be Pata, and because the Pisla is right in between Rishus Rabbim, do look at the Rishus Rabbim as two separate Rishus Rabbims. That's what the Gemara meant when it stated on Daftun Heron Beis, Rav Amma Afilu in Shabbos, that even if there would be a Rishus Rabbim, and it would only be some sort of a boundary marker or some sort of a plant that was between the Rishus Rabbim, that we would look at the Rishus Rabbim as two separate Rishuyas, and Lefi Rabbi Yisi, the din of Rishuyas Mischalkos would apply. And therefore, if Reuven would carry a half a Gregres from Rishus Yochid into one part of Rishus Rabbim, and then he'd carry another Chetzi Gregres into the other part of Rishus Rabbim, which is on the other side of the Meitzah or on the other side of the Chatzav, then Reuven would be Potter, as Lemaisa he didn't do a full Eitzah on Shabbos, and he'd be Potter from bringing a Korban. And the Gemara continued that Rav stated that Afilu in Shabbos that we consider a boundary marker and a chatzpah to be considered a separation b'negeya Shabbos, just like he stated b'negeya Pisla. And the Gemara states va'azdu Rav l'tamei that Rav is going l'shitasai the Amar Rav, as Rav states Rishus Shabbos k'Rishus Gittin Dami, that the Rishus b'negeya Shabbos is similar to the Rishus b'negeya Gittin. And as Rashbam brings down that we know if Reuven wants to divorce Rachel, then he has to make sure that Rachel receives the get in our hands. And the Gemara Masechtas Gittin on Daf Ayin Zayin Beis teach us im hikla chatzir liz garish v'zorik l'get v'nafla pisla shabachatzah in Megureshes, that Reuven was makna his chatzah to Rachel in order that she could acquire her get and should be considered her chatzah v'negei kabal saget, and then he threw the get to her. Instead of the get falling on the ground of the chatzah, it fell on a post that was in the chatzah that is not considered a valid gerushin. This pisla is considered a separate entity and a separate area, and Reuven never gave the pisla to Rachel, and therefore Rachel can't acquire her get on this pisla, and it's not considered a kiyum of v'nasim b'yada. And as Rashbam explained, the chad makom moishel inish trei mekaymis loy moishel inish, that even though Reuven lent her this area, but he only lent her one area, and he didn't mean to lend her two different areas, and therefore it would not be a valid get. The kama rava and rava states rishus Shabbos doim rishus gittin the hakinami linin Shabbos have hach pisla makom chashav b'fnei atzmai u'mechalak rishuyes, and therefore it separates the area of the rishus rabbim and mumutzu b'intayim, and if it's right in between the rishus rabbim, it would be considered two separate areas. The chechad loy batal pisla l'gabi chatzah hakinami loy batal hachel linin Shabbos l'gabi rishus rabbim. Let us remember that this sugya started off with a member of Rabasi, the name Rabbi Yechron, that stated hametzah v'chatzah b'afsikim minichsei agar. Therefore, at this point, the Gemara knows that l'fi Rabbi Yechron, if there will be a separation between two different areas of nichsei agar, and in order for Reuven to acquire both parcels when the ger dies, he would have to make a kinyan chazakah in both of these parcels. And the Gemara now asks, in sham loy mitzav loy chetzav mai, according to Rabbi Yechron, if a ger had a parcel of land and he didn't have any boundary marker, he didn't have any of these plants called chatzav that was growing between this area, and therefore it was one large parcel of land. So once this ger dies, how would Reuven be coined the entire parcel of land? And let's remember that in the bottom of that Nun Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara brought that Rav Huna stated in the name of Rav, that where does the Sodom Hutsuyamus be Mitzurah, and there are clear boundaries that define a certain property, then Rav holds Kim Shekesh Bar Makushachad Kana Kula, and Shmuel said, Loi Kana Al Makam Makushabu Bad. The Gemara continued and stated, Vishayin Musuyamus be Mitzurah, if the boundaries of this field are not clearly defined, and it's just a very large parcel parcel of land. Then Rav Papa explained that both according to Rav and Shmuel, could the Azal Turi, the Shuri, Vahada, that the proper way to be Koiner the Sada through a Kinyan Chazaka is by having your oxen plow along the entire length of the Sada or the entire width of the Sada and make one furrow, and then go back the entire length or the width of the Sada and make a second furrow, and then you'd be Koiner the entire parcel. Therefore, really, the Gemara should not have been asking this question, as we already defined a way to make a Kinyan previously. However, the Rashbam explains, El Mishun the Shemin Le Rabbi Echran Shir Acha Kaboyle, but since we knew that Rabbi Echran actually gave a different share, therefore we asked this question, and the Gemara actually tells us that Pirish Rabbi Moranis Mishmai, Rabbi Moranis actually responded, and he said that I heard in the name of Rabbi Echran, Kol Shenikrei Sashmai, as long as you'll be Hikishba Makash Echad, and you only dig one time in the Sada, then you'll be coined the entire Sada. As Rashbam explained, Kol Shenikrei Sada Echad, the Blush and Yachad Al Shmai, that as long as people call this as one Sada, Shekarnoi Sada Pliny, and they say this is the field of this ger, she'ino misaydus pliny, and they don't say these are the fields of the ger, kanakol b'makash echad, then you'll be kind of the entire sada, even if you only rough about porto, and you only dug with one shovelful. Where it continues, hechi dami, and what is this referring to? Amra papa, de karolei begagusa de planya, even though that this sada of this ger was very large, but he actually watered it for one irrigation canal, and therefore would be considered one sada, and therefore as long as Ruvain, who is trying to acquire the sada from Nichse Ager after the Ger died, actually was Makish by B'makish Echad, that would require the entire Sada. Ruvain would not have to make a separate Kinyan, and we will stop over here.